Welcome to Turning Arizona Blue, a podcast about red state politics, blue state politics, and everything in between. I'm your host, Ron Williams. In this edition of Turning Arizona Blue, we have a unique opportunity to explore a political journey, one that begins with an individual in the Republican Party who became a statewide office holder, and then during the right-wing shift of the Republican Party here in Arizona, became aware of the fact that the party was leaving him. He wasn't leaving the party. I'm speaking of Grant Woods, the former Attorney General for the state of Arizona from 1991 to 1999. And when he was running for those offices, Grant Woods led the ticket in the number of votes of any other candidate during those elections. But prior to holding statewide office, Grant Woods became the chief of staff for a then-Congressman and later Senator John McCain. Later in the podcast, Grant talks about his relationship with the senator as his boss and as his friend. After he left statewide office, he established his own successful law practice and stayed involved in Republican politics. But that changed as the right wing took over here in the state of Arizona. Grant Woods didn't hesitate to support candidates from other parties who he thought were better candidates, better on the policies, and better for the state of Arizona. But the journey that we talked about that Grant was on took a very divergent turn with the nomination of Donald Trump for President of the United States. That's where Grant's journey comes full circle. With that nomination and during the election, Grant endorsed Hillary Clinton for President of the United States and eventually ended up registering as a Democrat. We began our discussion with that political campaign and the impact of Donald Trump's presidency on the Republican Party here in Arizona.
When the Republican Party nominated Trump, that was a big deal for me personally. I had been a lifelong Republican. You know, I've been a centrist pretty much my whole life, so I didn't have a problem ever supporting Democrats if I thought the Democrat was the best candidate. And I certainly battled the various forms of the right wing in the Republican Party for all of my life. But then when they nominated Trump, it just started to go downhill even faster, in my view. I did endorse Hillary Clinton for president. That was not popular. I was used to getting grief. I'd been censured a few times for endorsing Democrats in big races. But this one, I guess even the reaction was even stronger. But for me, it was an easy call. It really wasn't difficult. I thought Hillary Clinton was one of the most qualified people ever to be nominated for president, and someone who had been a strong leader for a long time. And I thought Donald Trump was the least qualified person to ever be nominated for president. And as I was quoted in the media, I thought he was an existential threat to the United States. And so that's not a very difficult call, you know, if that's how you feel. And that is how I felt. But the worst part, and I understood people supporting Trump for a variety of reasons. But once he became president and immediately embarked upon his series of misdeeds, I was really surprised that almost all of the elected Republicans went along with whatever he did. With the exception of John McCain, most everybody just looked the other way or followed him down the path, even if those were things that were, if he was doing things that were inimical to everything they'd ever supposedly believed in. So that told me that there's something more serious going on here, and that these people really didn't believe anything, apparently, of what they had espoused. What they believed in was getting reelected. On the other side of the aisle was Joe Biden. I've known Joe Biden for a long time. I was friends with his son, Beau, and my views on the issues are very similar to Biden's. I actually agree with him more than I was associated with John McCain all of my life, but I disagreed with John on, you know, half the issues. But with Biden, I agree with him on the issues. So, and I know he's just a great person. So I switched to become a Democrat to rather than independent, so that I could support Biden and work for him. And that's how that happened. And, you know, the Democrats nominated Biden and Biden won. And I think he's doing a great job. So far, so good.
Arizona Republicans in the state legislature are trying to pass further voter suppression laws. They are trying to further criminalize abortion practices here in the state, and they are trying to reverse the funding for public schools that was passed by Proposition 208 by passing tax breaks for millionaires, some of whom are charter school owners and are contributors to the Republican Party. I asked Grant Woods, what path is the Republican Party on today?
Well, I think it's, I do think it's more of the same. I think these people have proven themselves capable of doing anything and everything they think is necessary in order to be reelected. It's a sad commentary on a political party when you believe that you have to suppress people's right to vote in order to win an election. But that's clearly what's going on. So it has nothing to do with securing the integrity of the elections. What it has to do with is the higher the turnout, ultimately, especially among people of color, then the less their chances of winning. If they spend half the time they spend on this nonsense, actually studying the issues and studying the communities that they represent, they'd have a better chance of winning if they would just figure it out. But they really can't win with an agenda of bigotry and hate, isolationism. That's not the future, and I think they know that. So I think we know that 20 years from now, unless they change dramatically, or unless the Democrats try to go way too far, too fast, then I think the Republican Party will be a minority party permanently in the United States. So that's 20 years from now. But they're not worried about 20 years from now. They're worried about 2 years from now.
We ended up talking about Grant's relationship with John McCain through his early days as a congressman, then a senator, and even talking about his presidential campaigns. What were the principles, what were the perspectives that Grant took away from that relationship, and how did they impact his life?
I think I got really lucky. I think Arizona got lucky that I guess I'll start with the country. The country got lucky that John McCain survived the 5.5 years of beatings and torture that he took as a prisoner of war in Vietnam. Rather than having that diminish him, it spurred him on to want to serve his country more. And then when it came time to figure out where to do that, he came to Arizona. So that was our lucky break. And then somehow, I was a 28-year-old public defender, and he picked me to run his show there at the beginning. That was an odd choice, frankly, for a conservative Republican new to the state. But we got along well together. It was fun to be around each other. And I think that was the main thing over the years, was we just had a good time together. But at the same time, then I got to see him behind closed doors, out in front of the public, every which way. There's just no questioning his integrity and his devotion to serving the country. That's what it was all about for him. There is no doubt. He understood politics. He ran for president twice. He was a Republican nominee for president. He would have been president had he not had the misfortune to run into one of the greatest candidates of all time in Barack Obama, whose time had come. More importantly, he knew what it was all about, and he would have any time sacrificed his position in office rather than betray his principles. And I think you saw that throughout his career. He did well. Let's start with the Obama campaign. I mean, people really wanted John McCain to exploit certain things there, like the Reverend Wright situation. And of course, half the party was talking about his birth certificate and these sort of things. And McCain did the exact opposite. He knew it was wrong, and he knew that it was a slippery slope towards racism, and he refused to do it. And I think history judges him well for that. And then when we see the Trump situation, he never cut Trump any slack, not once. A week after having brain surgery, against doctor's orders, he, at risk of his own life, he flew back to Washington so that he could vote on the health care reform bill, and famously was the deciding vote, saving health care for tens of millions of Americans. So, you know, what do you learn from all that? I learned so many things, but I think it just reinforced to me the idea that that the country is worth fighting for, as difficult as it can be at times, and that what you have to fight for is something stronger and more important than yourself. At the end of the day, it's what this country looks like. It's what this country stands for. It's how this country treats people within our borders, but also people around the world. So that we understand that human rights are just that. They're not American rights. They're human rights. And we have a responsibility everywhere to stand up for those basic human rights. And he passed that along to those of us that he influenced. And so that's why I think one reason why for me, fighting Trump from day one through today and beyond and his enablers is an easy call, because they don't stand for what's best about this country. We're better than that. And I think the last 90 days or so, however long it's been, with Joe Biden as president and Kamala Harris as vice president in this fantastic cabinet that we have, I think it's shown the difference in stark contrast between having a real, humane, competent leader and having an egomaniac who's really all about himself. So was it worth the fight over the last few years? Yeah, I think the evidence is in, the jury's in. It was worth the fight, but the fight goes on, because those forces are still trying to rig the system, and they don't seem to understand what the country's really all about. So we need to get out of the judgment game and the holier than thou game, and start acting like we're the people that we aspired to be in the beginning. And that's the people that believe that every human being is important and every human being is special.
Listening to Grant talk about his friend and mentor John McCain and his principles, his integrity, and his empathy towards others, I couldn't help but think that Grant Woods's journey through Arizona required those same principles, to go from a Republican office holder to fight the radicalization of the Arizona Republican Party today and to oppose the Trump era. I think Arizona is a better place because of Grant Wood's. It is a place searching for a more just governance, and Grant Wood's will help us get there. Thank you for listening to another edition of Turning Arizona Blue. And please check out our new online news service called The Mule News. You can go to our website at themulenews.com and subscribe. We also need financial support from like-minded individuals, from political action committees, institutional grants, and advertising from businesses across all of our platforms. Please contact us on email at turningazblue@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at turningaz and also on our Facebook page, Turning Arizona Blue. Finally, I'd like to thank my producer, Wiggles, and my sound engineer, Dreamy.